to me to be able to be here at the Trinity Baptist Church to celebrate their 30th anniversary of God's blessing on this ministry. God has been good to Trinity. And I've enjoyed being a friend and been able to come and enjoy a few of the years with your pastor, see what God's done. Thank God for a good God called pastor, amen? I tell you, a man of conviction, a man that preaches the word. These are very important ingredients that make a ministry. Thank God for the testimony that this church takes. It really is a blessing. And of course, their love for God in regards to missions around the world that has a tremendous desire to obey the Great Commission. It's a wonderful thing. And I think it's a great, as Brother Tim, I'm sure Brother Brad and the other gentlemen that'll be preaching this weekend. It's a great opportunity and a real blessing for us to be here and to enjoy what God's done. It really is. Our church turns, we'll be an independent Baptist church 50 years next year. We're excited about that. You don't hear many folks be excited about church in general. But our church is an old church, and we're celebrating 50 years as an independent Baptist church, and 75 years the year after that. So I like celebrations. I do. I enjoy it. They get more important the older you get. Amen. They do. You see what God's done, and you see how God has helped, and God has protected, and put a hedge around, and it's just great to be here. I wish we could just enjoy the moment. They come and they go, and life just... There'll never be another night quite like tonight. And there'll never be a congregation that's here like it is tonight. It's a good moment. It really is. Wish you could just kind of be still a little while. Everybody's busy, aren't they? They are. But we do appreciate it. I, as a pastor, Brother Wilson, and the other men that are here, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to come here, and we identify with your pastor. We're here not just because we want to preach. We identify with your pastor. We consider him a great friend, and it's a blessing. It really is. I told him the last time I was here, it was his 25th anniversary, and I said, maybe I'll get invited back to the 50th. Amen? I hope we're in heaven then, that's for sure. The book of Acts, please. Please take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Now, I was a city boy. I wasn't raised in the country, and therefore, being a city boy, I really never did have a dog. But I do like loyalty. I certainly appreciate the principle. And so, to each their own, and you got to be who you are. Is that not right? Acts chapter number 27. Do appreciate the good message, Brother Tim. Thank you. Acts chapter 27, and beginning in verse number 40, and said, when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart stuck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, all safe, to land. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain, notice, and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he, the apostle Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit,
They looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here in this place that's dedicated for worship and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the good service that we've enjoyed thus far and the good word of God. We thank you, Father, for your loyalty. We thank you, Father, for Brother Tim Wilson and the good message. Thank you for Brother Tim. Thank you for Brother Dilbert, Lord, and the church here. And Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here to enjoy this 30th anniversary. I pray you'd bless each preacher as he comes this week. And Lord, you'd use him to be a help, to honor you and to help the church. And Father, you'd bless them. And Father, I pray now tonight that you'd enable me, you'd help me, Father, that I would continue and help. I desire to be a help, desire to be a blessing. Pray that you'd bless your word. Thank you for the saints that have come out tonight. Lord, I pray now you'd just grant us that liberty and you'd enable us to be able to say those things that would be pleasing to thee. And help us at the conclusion of the service to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If that young boy that got Brother Tim a glass of water would get me a cup, I sure would appreciate that. I'll even drink his if he's not done with his. All right. You start thinking about this story in the Bible. There he is. Boy, it's Johnny on the spot. The Apostle Paul, obviously, in this period of time in his life, he just received his AARP card. And he's enjoying a Christian cruise all the way to Rome. But unfortunately, he's in a turbulent time in his life, and he's engulfed in a hurricane. It's called Euryclide, and it's described in chapter number 27. You think of storms in the life of the Apostle Paul, they're nothing new to this old preacher, for sure. Bible describes much. If you'd like to look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 24, it says this, of the Jews, five times received I stripes, save one. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. This was not his first shipwreck. You'd have thought he'd have been smarter than get on another boat, but there you go. At night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings off. Notice, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings oft, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often. Notice, in cold and in nakedness. In cold and in nakedness. I think of the Apostle Paul tonight and the storms that he experienced. And I think of the United States for sure. It's been hard hit these past few years with physical storms. Boy, living down there in Alabama, we see the end of it a little bit. And sometimes it gets all the way up in here. But many, many storms, and they're just been spared this year for some reason. I'm not sure what's, maybe it's just a little bit of a breather. But many of them, we think about that storm just a few years ago over in the Pacific, of the tsunami that water came inland and a couple of 100,000 were perished in a storm. Boy, there's a lot of storms in life physically. And you think as you look around how people are in storms, but yet not only storms physically, but there are storms spiritually. Boy, we think about all kinds of storms spiritually. But first of all, let me say, first of all, we talk about the economic storm and how that's affecting so many people. Most people say the number one problem that people are experiencing storms in life is financial problems. Financial problems overlap and lead to many other problems. Most people say the number one breakdown in most marriages usually begins with financial problems. And then we think of the emotional drain that a storm can have on people. I mentioned at supper with the pastor about Tuscaloosa, and I love living there. It's a blessing. But right there in Tuscaloosa is a place called Bryce Hospital, and it's the state mental hospital. Boy, I tell you, I've never in the past 25 years of preaching and pastoring,
I've never seen so much mental illness in all my life. It's a storm. Used to be as a young preacher, I thought, man, I need to get over that. What's the matter with you? And I don't think that anymore. Very careful to discuss or to talk to anybody. I feel like, first thing mental illness comes up, I put the brakes on and I say, now, whoa. Boy, a lot of folks are hurting. Is this the battle right here, 5 inches? And boy, the endangered life. And boy, many of you, I'm sure every preacher's preached about the storms of life. And the old familiar outline is you're either going into a storm, you're either in the middle of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. In other words, life is just a storm. It's of a few days and full of troubles, the great patriarch Job said. And storms of life attack the child of God and attack the church. And they're so easy to get discouraged, defeated, demoralized, and even distracted. Boy, storms are real for sure. We think about how this storm in the Apostle Paul's life so could have easily resulted in the loss of life. It happens all the time. Boy, I think of drowning as probably the worst way to die. I really do. I don't like being in any kind of water when my feet's not on the bottom. Amen. That just does not feel good to me. I like my feet to be on the bottom. I like to go, if I'm ever in a pool, it's got to be 3 feet deep. That's good enough for me. But boy, I wouldn't like that. The Apostle Paul, as we just read in the book of 2 Corinthians, was no stranger to death's door. His testimony about what happened to him at Lystra, where he was stoned to death, caught up to the third heaven, returned back because he had an unfinished task. And the rest of his life, he has a desire to depart. And yet God still has a plan for him that included some storms. Some storms. You know, storms of life have a way of revealing your character. How you react or a lack of reaction. Boy, you think about it. Storms can often come as a result of obedience. The disciples got in the ship and gone across the sea and were in the middle of a storm, and Jesus walked on the water and calmed the sea. They were obedient. So storms come not as a result of disobedience, but sometimes in the perfect will of God, you can be in the middle of a storm. And yet at the same time, they do come as a result of disobedience. We see the storm that occurred in the life of Jonah. Oh, Jonah was given a commission and he was told what to do, and he hit the ground running the wrong way. And boy, we understand the severity of that storm. Boy, it was a real mess as a result of disobedience. Boy, I tell you, but some storms can result in opportunities to serve and help people when they're the casualty or the victim of a storm. Everybody here tonight at some time has been affected by a storm. Well, you think about this story of the Apostle Paul. I like this verse, and it's interesting spiritually speaking. Verse 44, at the end of the verse, it said they escaped all safe to land. I just want you to know, regardless of the storm, you're going to make it home one day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, we talk about sailing to Zion, and the old ship of Zion. We're going to make it. Now, I tell you, the storms may batter and beat against the brow, but we're going to make it. And the apostle and those that were on this ship found themselves in the island of Malta. I don't know if you know anything about Malta. It's a little island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and the only reason I'm familiar of it was when my brother was in the British Navy and gotten right under a missionary in Plymouth, England, when he was back on ship, and his ship in the British Navy stopped in Malta, and he was baptized there, right in the Isle of Malta. And that's the only reason I'm familiar with it. Interesting little thought there. But boy, you start thinking about how they were received. They were welcomed by the native islanders, who was kind to them. That's what it says right there in verse 2. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. Boy, isn't it a blessing sometimes how unsaved people can be kind? You know, kindness is a language that works everywhere. Amen. And boy, you start thinking about this. No doubt the survivors of this shipwreck and this storm, they had many urgent needs. You think about being in a shipwreck. And boy, first of all, they nearly drowned. Now, I don't know how you nearly drowned, but they nearly drowned. They must have felt like, I'm a goner. I don't know if I'm going to make it to land. This has been a rough sea. And boy, we need some help. Need somebody to help us. Well, you ever see folks out there that are just look like they're about just ready to drown?
to drown. And we got an old hymn in this songbook that says, throw out the lifeline. And boy, you'll drug an old sinner in that's about ready to just go under for the last time. Well, we've got this. The roles are reversed here. The lost are helping the saved here. It's an interesting thought. No doubt they were not only needing help from a near-death experience, but no doubt they had medical needs. I'm sure some of them had hurt. Some of them had wounds. Some of them needed medical attention. Well, have you ever seen a day and age like 2009 where people need help medically? Oh, the whole attention of the country is directed towards health care. And I'm not going to address that in my message because I'll get sidetracked and I'll end up getting on the government and I'll never say anything good. Amen. But boy, I tell you, you start thinking about people's health care, it's enormous. But it's always been enormous. It's always been enormous. I think this flu epidemic is a ploy. See, I told you. That's a ploy by the federal government to make everybody paranoid, to think the government's the only people can keep you from getting sick. Tell you one good thing that'll help you. Just wash your hands a lot. Amen. Do that when you cough. Don't all over everybody. Amen. Old-fashioned manners that mom and grandma told you. And when somebody doesn't have them, slap them. Amen. I'm sure they had medical. I'm sure being Baptist, they had nutritional needs. The food was gone and they're hungry. And boy, I tell you, when Baptists are hungry, man, they're not happy. That's a fact. They needed somebody to help them. But that wasn't the greatest need that they had. The greatest need that these casualties of the storm of life, their greatest need is described there. Verse number 2, it said they kindled a fire. They needed some heat. As a result of the rain and the cold temperatures, they needed some heat. They really did. Just a little warmth. Just a little kindness. They kindled a fire. And so from that thought, I would like to draw a spiritual parallel to today. I believe everybody can relate to storms, no doubt about it. Every day, it's always something. If it hasn't happened yet, just hold on. Be a little kind to your neighbor because it's liable to be at your door next week or tomorrow. Many urgent needs, for sure. But for sure, one thing that we can relate to in 2009 is the cold atmosphere and the cold temperature, spiritually speaking. It's cold. It's cold. It's graveyard cold. It's funeral home cold. Dead cold. It really is. And no doubt many of these urgent needs need attention tonight. And as I have the privilege, I just a little boy raised in Belfast, Northern Ireland. God saved me, allowed me the opportunity to come and pastor in the greatest state of the Union. And then he allowed me the great privilege to come and preach in the second greatest state of the Union. You didn't think I was going to come up here and not aggravate you a little bit. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I'm so blessed, really. I mean this in a serious sense, to get to go and preach in many different great churches. And yet when you start looking at the many needs, the greatest needs in most churches, as the opportunity as a guest coming in, is just a little heat, a little fire, a little warmth, a kindling a little fire. Kindling a little fire. Boy, really, for sure. I was raised in Northern Ireland, as I said, and growing up, we didn't have central heating. I didn't know what a thermostat was. We had a coal fire in the living room. That was it. Boy, you had to get up early, and you got to come down. If the fire was not cleaned, it had to be cleaned. You had to take all the ashes out, clean the fire out, and then you had to get some paper, and you'd wrap that paper up, and boy, you'd get a little sticks, and then you get some dry coal, and you'd come in, and if you had some of them little white things that kind of keep it lit a little bit, they'd help it get lit. And you'd go in there, and you get down on your knees, and boy, you just go, whew, you're trying to get a little fire lit. About 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and you're hoping that paper will crumble up, and that wood will get caught a little bit, and it'll catch that coal, and then it just catches a little bit. You kindle a little fire, and then, praise God, it gets caught.
put a little more coal on there, and you get a little heat from that thing. Well, you just don't come in there and just shovel a bunch of coal on there, throw a bunch of wood, and throw a bunch of paper, and light it, and it ain't going to stay lit. I mean, and that's the way it is in the church. I tell you, it takes a little work. I had to kindle a little fire. There's got to be a little house cleaning that's got to take care of. And then there's got to be a little meddling. You've got to take care of some stuff and middle it up and get it clean and get some things. And then it requires somebody to blow. And that's called the Holy Ghost. There's a wind that blows from a heavenly country. In John chapter 3, the wind blows where we know not where it comes from. But we need that heavenly breeze to blow in the church and to kindle a fire to get the saints of God a little heat. Amen. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, I like being warm. I don't live in Alabama for fun. Boy, I tell you, I raised in Northern Ireland where it's always about 45 degrees and wet. People say, didn't 100 degrees bother you? Man, you live in Northern Ireland for the first half of your life and it won't bother you. Amen. I like to be warm physically. I like to be warm spiritually. I do. Well, I tell you, you start thinking about where we're at today, folks. There's a lot of folks that are cold and indifferent and apathetic. And I tell you, not only is the pastor excited about a 30th anniversary, inviting pastors in, friends in, and try to help Trinity Baptist Church. But I tell you what he wants to see. He likes to see a little fire kindle as well. He wants to celebrate the goodness of God. He wants to thank God for his blessings. But he wants that fire to continue. A little fire. Well, I tell you, as a pastor, I realize there's many storms that put out the fire. There are a lot of folks. Anybody gets fired up, and they say, phew, put that out. A little zealous, a little fired up, wet blanket. But I've always been taught and heard that it's easier to restrain a wild man than it is to raise a dead man. Amen? I'd rather have a little fire, a little wildness, than try to resurrect the dead. I've been working on the dead for the past 25 years. That ain't working real good. Boy, you know, one of the biggest things that puts out people's fire is their health problems. Now, I'm not being unkind, but boy, you can't do what you want to do because your body just won't work. Your mind shuts down. Age kicks in. Your medicine. Oh, my, what a complicated thing. Huh? I mean, it'll just kill you from having any fire for God. Boy, you talk about having family problems, dysfunctional families. I don't know if they've got any in Tennessee. We got a bunch of them in Alabama. Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, when that family's upset, when mama's upset, everybody's upset. Boy, it's hard to get things fired up when that family's in there and they're just all fighting about stuff. You fight about stuff up here? How many outbuildings have you got full of stuff? Oh, I tell you. And then finances, we've already talked about that. Let me move on here. This clock says 9:30. Don't you folks know we had time change last week? I'm leaving on Saturday morning, but I'm sure glad to be here. Amen. Here by the skin of my teeth. A field goal, glory to God. I don't have a middle name, but if I had one, it would be called Agitator. Amen. Let's get back to the Word of God. Anytime you're ready, Brother Sam. Well, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Boy, how many here would say, preacher, I'm just fired up. I stay fired up. Man, I tell you what, I'd like to stay fired up. I need to be in church to get fired up. I need to be under the Word of God to be fired up. I need to be in prayer to get fired. I tell you, there's some places we need to be at where that fire is kindled, where there's a little breeze to blow. I tell you, it blows in this place a lot more than anywhere else. I tell you that right now. Well, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, as a result of no vision, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of God. Somebody wasn't lighting the temple, and the light went out. Boy, you think about the problems in the Revelation church, and boy, the lamp went out. Well, there's nothing to keep it lit. The fire's gone. Boy, you talk about Revelation chapter 3. I know thy works, because thou art neither cold nor hot. But we are so professional, we can fake it better than anybody. We are a Hollywood generation. We've watched so much of it, we could put on a performance and win an Emmy, whatever an Emmy is. I'm telling you, we can come to church and we're neither hot nor cold, we're lukewarm, and we just fake it. Do you ever fake it? I tell you who's good at faking it. Preachers fake it. If you really heard what most preachers felt like saying, I tell you, they wouldn't be your preacher. They got to play the man. They got to be instant in season and out of season and ask God to help me, protect me. Well, you can't believe how much prayer is prayed around this place so God will help me, help your pastor. I do his duty. I say what God wants him to say and get out of the way. Amen. Oh, well, wouldn't it be a blessing if the pastor would come to the pulpit and it'd be just blazing hot with flames shooting out your nose. Everything you said was just dead right on. You come and the preacher's preaching. Wonder what's wrong with the pastor today. He's not fired up. That sermon just didn't do nothing for me. Well, how do you think he felt having to preach it to you? We're at a huge disadvantage. There's only one of us. We got to look at all of you. Well, I think what we're trying to see here is God would rather you be honest and say, I'm either hot or cold. He has a problem with this lukewarm stuff. That's where we're at. We're Laodicean Christians and Laodicean church and Laodicean preachers. Trying to say, hey, let's be real. That's what the preacher just preached about, being real. Boy, this world needs to see something that's real. They really do. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing to be hot about the Bible? Boy, the preacher preaches out the importance of the Word of God till he's blue in the face. And they say, is that all he ever talks about, the Bible? What else is he supposed to talk about? He's just fired. He wants to. What do you think about the Lord Jesus? Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing to be fired up about the salvation? Remember when you first got saved and you were just ablaze. Just fired up. Boy, I tell you. Well, let me get to my message here. It's right here in my text. It really is. And that's this thought. Why we need to kindle a fire for God. And how can we kindle a little fire? Little fire. Could some of you handle a little more zeal in your life? You know, many times we have a revival. And revival is really a return to vigor. It's a return to spiritual consciousness. It's a desire to do the things that you know you're supposed to do. It's being excited about the things of God. We need that, don't we, church? Oh, we really do. Well, let's look first of all. We'll see, first of all, the sense of urgency to kindle a fire. If there ever was a day and age where we need to kindle a fire, it's today, church. We need it today. Old timers, and we've got some old timers. And now it turns around, we're us that are here, we're turning into the old timers. We don't feel that old, but when you go to a meeting and you find yourself the oldest one there and you go, something wrong here. This ain't right. But boy, you think about old timers. They used to talk about being, the preacher was fired up. Well, don't you like to come when the preacher's just kind of preaching like he's trying to fight bumblebees? He just seemed like he's just got something in him that he just got to get out of him. He's fired up. Boy, I tell you, would to God we had more of that. Amen. Boy, this is a preacher's fellowship. There's not a pastor here couldn't handle a little fired up when he comes to this place of sacred place where he preaches the Bible. Amen. Boy, you come to the pulpit in the song service, the song leader's done the best he could to get you fired up, and many of you don't even lift a hymnal. And you say, what's the matter with the song leader? He's wanting. He needs some help. I tell you, you know what songs do? Song prepare the heart to receive the word. And this is a good church. This is a good church. I'm just saying, boy, it's a blessing when the church, when the pulpit's fired up. The church is on fire. I don't know much. I think this is a great church. I think this is the second prettiest building in all the country. It used to be the nicest one until we built ours down Tuscaloosa. Now, would I be wrong in saying that? I think I've got the best congregation in the country. But I sure do like coming to Trinity. I think it's a great church. I know a preacher, he gets a little aggravated with me because I'm a builder. I've had to build buildings, and I love the building. It's just a great place to come. It's dedicated. It's for a purpose. I enjoy going to church here at Trinity. I do. Amen. You say, well, it's no big deal. All right. Well, I tell you what. You go down to your storefront and tell me what it's like after about 3 years. If it's no big deal. It's no big deal having potties. I went to revival last week down in Alabama, and it was a little old building about the quarter of this, and boy, there were 6 babies singing in harmony the whole service. Them babies just let it, our preacher was trying to do his best, and them babies just, I went home and I said Wednesday night, I said, church, thank you for nursery. What a blessing to have women that beat our kids to death in the nursery. I know you don't do that, but I don't know what you do back there, amen? All I know is I keep getting bills for cases of Benadryl. It don't mean much. I order cases of NyQuil for me, amen? Oh, I tell you, would to God we could say that this pulpit and this church was fired up. I believe that's the desire of your pastor. I believe it's the desire of the deacons. I believe it's the desire. You don't want to come to an old dead church. You want this place to be on fire. And I tell you what it requires? A little kindling. Kindle a little fire. You know what these meetings are for? You know what your pastor does on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night? He prays for a little kindling and light a little fire. Amen. Sure does. Amen. That's why we have meetings. Old John Wesley, that great old Methodist preacher, he was asked why so many people love to hear him preach, and he said, I set myself on fire, and people come to watch me burn. Well, you don't want some preacher to get up here and just be as dead as 4 o'clock, do you? I mean, you've got time that's important to you. You've got things. There isn't a woman in here who doesn't have a list that's impossible to get done. You could be there doing that tonight, and you chose to be faithful to the house of God, and I tell you what, you need some help. And God's men desire to be some help. They really do. We need a fire kindled. Boy, I tell you, this old world is lost and on its way to hell. And boy, we don't need any more dead, dried up, cold Baptist churches. There's enough of them. And boy, sometimes I'm as cold and as dead as last week's feast supper. Just dead and cold. You ever get that way? I need that breeze to blow. Need to kindle a fire. That's for sure. Boy, they had a recent poll in Alabama here a while back. Matter of fact, it was on March the 26th of 07. And that poll said Alabama residents have more Bible knowledge than people in any other state. Notice, since 70% in the poll could name the 4 Gospels. Oh my. I was so encouraged. I think what they did was they probably watched the Civil War movie and saw the 4 canons that were named, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't learn that in Sunday school, I promise you that right now. If that's all we could brag about in Alabama, knowing the 4 Gospels, we're in need of help. Amen. That's a fact. Boy, I tell you, just a few weeks ago, well, probably about 12 weeks ago, down there they have a little bit of, they play a little football down there. Did you know that? And they had an A-B game. An A-B game is a practice game where one part of the team plays. 84,000 people showed up to watch an A-B game. Crazy as a bedbug. 84,000. Probably did it down here in Tennessee too. Boy, they're so fired up. Their head coach, I'm telling you what, they only give them $4 million a year. I feel for his pain. I thought if he would just let me be his chaplain, I'd let him pay me 1%. It's nuts. Boy, they're fired up. LSU's coming this week, and there's 100,000 people show up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, crazy as a bed bug about a little old ball. I like football, but it's not that big a deal. I tell you. Let me ask you a question tonight. What rings your bell? What fires you up? What kindles your fire here at Trinity Baptist Church? Well, what does it take to get you fired up and excited? Well, here's the deal. Not only is there a need to kindle a fire, but there's dangers of building a fire. In verse number 3, it said when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them in the fire, there came a viper out of the heap. We understand this symbolic of Satan, a serpent, a viper. And really, the devil, he'll show up and try and put out a fire. He will. He doesn't care how beautiful the sanctuary is, and I think it is beautiful, and I don't have a problem with it being beautiful. All these pastors work to try to make their place presentable so when people that are visitors come in, they feel like they're in a place of worship. It's not just an ordinary building. It isn't. It's a special place. These pews, this organ, this piano, this pulpit is not like the lector down there at the community center. Don't give me that foolishness. I believe it's important. It's old-fashioned important. And boy, I tell you, but boy, you start a fire around this place, and I want you to know some snakes will show up. And I'm not talking about snake handlers. Amen. I know you Tennessee folks get some bad news about all that stuff. Folks down there in Alabama do it too. They're just as crazy as you all. Amen. Not you all, but Tennessee. You know what I'm saying. Boy, you ask the average Baptist about the work of the devil, and they haven't a clue what you're talking about. I'm always... You know, there's one thing I like about October. It came to pass. This trick-or-treat Halloween foolishness. Oh, they're fired up. I mean, me and my wife went walking. When was trick-or-treat? Saturday night. We went out walking in our neighborhood. And they think I'm crazy. They think I'm a little excited when I go to the pulpit. And I seen what them people were dressed up, going house to house for a piece of candy. I'm telling you. They just don't seem to get the connection between this wickedness and devils and goblins and all this ghosts. And everybody says, it's just for the kids. Well, you get a brain. Amen. The deacon are handing out brains out the door when you walk out. Amen? Amen, brother. It's terrible. Boy, this Harry Potter foolishness. They know more about that than they know about their Bible. Well, you ask people about the whole armor of God, and they say, what? I'm just wanting you to know you get to building the fire, and the devil's going to show up. And I'm telling you what, he's going to try to keep you from being fired up. He is. Well, it's amazing. You know, a lot of folks will maybe miss the meeting and miss the opportunity to get some help, get a little fire, get a little excitement, get a little encouraged in the storm. When these men came out of the storm, they were wet. They were cold, they were hungry, they were hurting, they were in need, urgent need. And boy, the preacher comes to the pulpit in 2009, going into 2010. He looks out at the pew and sees the exact same conditions where there's an emergency waiting and they need some fire to get them fired up, to get them heat up, get them from being so cold. That's right. Boy, I tell you, you ever feel cold? Imagine if I had a spiritual thermometer and I was to put it in your heart. Would it blow cold or hot? Would it put a chill on the place? Boy, I tell you, we need some help, church. We do. We need some help. Preachers need some help. Boy, every time a preacher gets fired up, they say, what are you so fired up about? What's the big deal? Yeah. Man, all you want to do is tell us about souls and giving and trying to be faithful and be loyal. Because we're supposed to be. Yeah. Well, it's already 10 o'clock, so don't feel bad. Amen? Oh, I tell you. I'm just here to tell you we need to kindle a fire. Boy, we need to kindle a fire. There's amazing things happen from this place here where you get to preach in this book, you get to sing in this hymnal, and that breeze gets to blowing on them words, and it gets to going down to them pews, and folks get to coming down to this altar, and it just starts. You get going over that prayer list. You pray for them missionaries. You get to reading that book in the morning, your devotions, and God goes, kindles a little fire. Boy, but the devil's not far behind him. Said, man, I tell you, they're going to think you're a nut. You don't have to go down there every time Brother Delbert says come to church. You don't have to give the missions. You don't have to give your tithes. You don't have your kids down. See how the devil works? He gets you so distracted. He show up. And here's the deal, what happens. It's right here in the text. When you build a fire, be prepared to get bit. Look at verse number 4. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. No matter who you are, I promise you, you ever get on fire for God, it won't go unnoticed. It sure won't. Boy, it's amazing here, right here in the context of the story, how you can be a murderer and then a god in just a few verses. That's how fickle are about people that are fired up. Boy, the preacher's the greatest. You're the Mr. Reverend Wonderful. There's just nobody like Brother Dilbert today. Right now. But just wait till next week. Boy, I tell you what, they sure can show their colors, can't the preacher? The best of us. Oh, I would never. Oh, what did the preacher just preach about? Let me not get there. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing how rumors manifest about you and the church. You remember one thing? The devil's a liar. He's called a murderer. You know what he wants to do? He wants to kill Trinity Baptist Church. He wants to put out the fire. Boy, you look at the condition of most churches. He's done a pretty good job. Sure has. Boy, it's amazing here. It's a sad thing when you start thinking about it. But one gets a little old bite the closer you get to the fire. You've got to get close to the fire in order to get bit. You know that, don't you? You stay out. You know, if you can't handle the heat, stay out of the kitchen. Boy, I tell you, it rains on the just and the unjust. You're going to get bit out there, but you're going to get bit in here too. But it's amazing how you're supposed to respond. Boy, I tell you, most folks that are... I started teaching the book of Proverbs, and my theme of trying to teach the book of Proverbs is maturity. Let's get some wisdom so we can be mature. Wouldn't it be a blessing to see folks act their age? Wouldn't it be a blessing when next time you come up to the pastor and you start whining and you start, it's not right, I'm not bad, I don't know. And the preacher says, would you be mature? Would you be responsible? Would you act your age? You're only 55. That sounds so silly, but it's not. Amen, church. It's absolutely pitiful how easily folks in the average Baptist church say for years, but they're so easily offended. One little bite. You know what happened to me down there at Trinity Baptist Church? I'm telling you, you know what happened to my baby in the nursery? You know, that preacher did not shake my hand Sunday morning. You say, no. Oh, yeah. He is not magician. His name is not Harry Houdini. It's Dilbert Terry. If you have a problem with him not shaking your hand, come up here and shake his hand. Amen. Oh, I tell you, folks get wounded and they quit serving God because of one little old bite. One little old boo-boo. I got a boo-boo. I can't come to church. I would take that Sunday school class, but I can't. I was hurt the last time I took the class. I would tithe, but I tell you what, somebody hurt my feelings and I need my boo-boos. I got a little boo-boo right here. Oh, I'll tell you how we magnify our boo-boos. Now, don't get me wrong. I know sometimes they hurt, but we magnify them. Don't we? Boy, did you ever ask somebody how they're doing and they tell you and you go, oh, my goodness. They just, you know what I call them? I call them joy suckers. They just go, preacher, suck a joy right out of you. You feel like you need to take a week off. Hey, boo-boo. I got to be. You know what the Bible says? When I was a child, I spake as a child. Boy, it's a terrible thing to see somebody been saved 10, 15 years and to go around here talking like they're just about 2 weeks old in the Lord. What do you want the preacher to come up and say? Oh, saved 20 years. Oh, I'm so sorry you got your feelings hurt. Oh, I know Brother Dilbert does that, doesn't he? Oh. Oh, you got a boo-boo. That's what your little boy says, he's got a boo-boo. How many folks in Trinity have got boo-boos tonight? Said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. When I became a man, there's some things need to get put away, folks. We're at the end. We need to realize where we're at in the timetable of God's calendar. Boy, I tell you what, the devil's going to be hitting you any way he can, any kind of boo-boo he can. I tell you what, he wants to hurt you. It's amazing. You know what we need to do? We need to grow. We're going to get bit. Be prepared. You know, as preachers, I'm telling you what, we just get used to getting bit. We just expect it. We expect folks to come in and just take your heart, take your wife's heart and go, they don't have feelings. Now, I'm venting a little bit. Please help me. I love my church. God forgive me. I do. Don't you send the CD down to Rice's Valley. I'll be a member up here. Oh, folks. The response. You know what happened to the Apostle Paul? Oh, Paul could have said, man, I tell you what, I'm getting old. And I'm getting sick and tired of folks just taking advantage of me. Man, I'm getting it in the neck every time I turn around. They're just dumping on me and they're hurting me and a shipwreck and boy, getting bit by a snake. And I got all these. You know what Paul did? Paul didn't do that. He shook it off. Look what the text says. He shook it off. Boy, you know what revival's all about? Shaking some things off. Look what it says in verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I tell you, you know what this altar's for? Shaking some things off. Amen. Well, I know some of you have been hurt. I know some of you have got some wounds. I know some of you got some scars. I know some have been 20 years ago. Something happened in a church. Something happened in a home. Something happened on a job. Maybe the preacher preached something, just rubbed you the wrong way. I tell you what, if you're going to let that boo-boo keep you from getting fired up, you're just going to be cold and indifferent and apathetic till Jesus comes. And that's not what God wants. God wants you in. Pastor wants you in. Church wants you in. They want you to have a smile on your face when you come to church. They want to see the joy, 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 joy down in your heart. They want to see your kids excited about being at church. They want to see them loving God and serving God, enjoying the Word of God. Shake some things off. Well, you think about it. If you made a list, there's a lot to shake off, isn't there? Boy, there's a lot to shake off emotionally and spiritually and economically. Oh, my. Paul did. And not only that, in verse number 6, he didn't swell up. And boy, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. But if we learn to shake some things off, well, I tell you, we'll be able to keep serving God. All some people remember in serving God is that one bite the rest of their life. It kills their fire. They have no joy. They're full of bitterness. They don't love God. They abandon the church. They leave their Bible down. Just a little bite. That preacher, aren't you glad the preacher didn't say, I quit? You know what? The preacher shook it off and didn't swell up and say, I'm somebody. He got on about his business. It's very important to realize that. Preachers, we need to shake off them bites and not swell up and die like an old frog and get some fire. Amen, preachers. So easy to get dead and cold. This generation is swollen up everywhere. But I tell you, that's not what God wants us to do. John Wesley said this, and I'm closing. He said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he said, I'd set the world on fire. I like that. I tell you, Scott County, this church is here for such a time as this. 30 years God's blessed, put a hedge about this ministry, blessed this pulpit with integrity, honesty, a Bible, and Lord, desiring to maintain that, preaching truth, trying to help you, concerned about your soul, concerned about obeying God, wanting you to love God. That does not happen by accident. Boy, I tell you what, God's looking for some folks that'll kindle a fire. Oh, there's a song says something like this. Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Fill me with your power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Let's stand together for prayer, if you please. Our Father, I pray your blessings now upon the service as we conclude it in an invitation hymn. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we thank you for the word of God that instructs us in righteousness. We thank you for the correction. We pray that you'd help us to be doers of the word. Forgive us where we allow circumstances to kill our fire. Bless the pastor of this church as he continues to serve. Put a hedge about him, his wife, and his children. Put a hedge around about this pulpit. Put a hedge about this ministry. And bless now as we conclude the service tonight and the services to follow. Bless every preacher as he comes. Have your will and way now, Father. If there be one here today that's lost, Lord, they don't realize that there is a fire prepared for them. But God's not willing that any should perish. Tonight could be the day they could come and fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Help them to come tonight and trust Him who alone can save them. Have your will and way now, Father, and we'll thank you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is that song in the hymnal?